Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of Let's Change the World. The Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show airs every other week on Sundays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm always joined by my wonderful co-host, Cheryl Alisa, who will not be with me on this broadcast. She's celebrating the holidays with her family and friends. Hopefully you're having a wonderful time, my dear. This is just a special broadcast that was inspired by conversations I've had with people recently. And to learn more about the movement, I should get this out here real quick. You should visit www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. That's www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. The Let's Change the World movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can, no matter how small it is, to positively impact somebody else's life other than our own, or to positively impact our community as a whole. And if we all do whatever little bit we can, remember, it doesn't matter how small it is, then together we can change the world. So what we want to do is encourage people to get off their dead ass and do something. We all want change, but change doesn't happen on its own. We have to get involved and make change happen. So don't just sit there. Do something. On today's special broadcast, which will be hosted by myself only, I just want to spread a little education on what President Obama has done for the African-American community or black people, as well as Latinos and other minorities as well. There was a huge population of black people and Latinos and other minorities who turned out to vote for President Obama and elect him our first African-American president, and then to re-elect him again. Now, I believe a lot of the African-American community has since then left the Obama camp because of a disbelief that they have benefited at all from his presidency. So I felt it very important to shed some light on exactly what President Obama has done for the African-American community since he's been president. And I believe this broadcast will be very educational and enlightening. So please tune in and stick around a while. If you don't hear what you want to hear right away, stick around because I'm going to cover a lot. We will not be accepting call-ins today. This is purely an educational broadcast, and I hope you enjoy it. To begin with, President Obama told the country in his 2015 State of the Union address, the state of our union is strong, but the president also believes we need to do more than just recover from the economic crisis we just faced, a crisis that has hit the African-American community especially hard. We needed to restore the security and opportunity for all Americans by focusing on the fundamental values that have made our economy the strongest in the world. That means working to ensure that everyone does their fair share, everyone gets a fair shake, and that hard work pays off. That's why President Obama has continued to prioritize equal rights for all Americans and full access to the opportunities that hardworking families need to reach the full potential, their full potential. This has meant making health care and college education more affordable, promoting civil rights and criminal justice reform, and championing workforce development to ensure we continue to develop and retain the strongest, most productive workforce in the world. This administration's record includes a bunch of different things. And I'm just going to begin with how Mr. Obama has worked to restore economic security to African-American families. Businesses have added over 11 million jobs over 58 straight months of job growth. While we still have more to go, The job growth has helped bring down the African-American unemployment rate by 6.4 percentage points since its peak in March 2010, and as of last December. Putting Americans back to work, spurring economic growth, and restoring security for middle-class families remain the president's top priorities. First of all, the administration has taken steps to help more of the long-term unemployed get back to work, more than 20% of whom are African Americans. The president unveiled a set of best practices being taken by leading employers, including over 80 members of the Fortune 500 and over 20 members of the Fortune 50, around recruiting and hiring the long-term unemployed to remove some of the barriers that make it harder for them to navigate the hiring process. The Department of Labor awarded nearly $170 million in ready-to-work partnership grants to support the best models for partnerships between employers, nonprofits, and the job training system to help train and connect the long-term unemployed to work. Also, last October, the administration announced that it would set Small Business Administration fees to zero on all loans below $150,000. When you look at the numbers, the most significant credit gap we see is for smaller dollar loans. These lower dollar loans often help finance new startups and entrepreneurs in underserved communities, which can include women, minorities, veterans, and others. Setting fees at zero effectively makes these loans cheaper for borrowers, encouraging lending to small businesses that face the most constraints on credit access, and will create lending opportunities important for underserved communities. Also, recognizing the importance of tax relief for working families, the president enacted and Congress extended, with bipartisan support, I should add, through 2017, improvements to tax credits for working families. These include expansions to the Earned Income Tax Credit, or EITC, the Child Tax Credit, which strengthened work incentives and helped parents afford the cost of raising a family, augmenting wages for 16 million families with 29 million children each year, including millions of African-American families. Because of these improvements, a single parent working full-time at the minimum wage gets an additional tax cut of about $1,700. The president also enacted the American Opportunity Tax Credit, which helps working and middle-class families pay for college. The president's budget proposes to make these improvements permanent. The president's proposal to expand the Earned Income Tax Credit for workers without children, including non-custodial parents, will promote and reward work for those who experience difficulty connecting to the labor force, helping 13.2 million low-income workers, including 2 million African Americans. The president's budget would also eliminate the biggest loopholes that let the wealthy avoid paying their fair share and reinvest those savings into new tax reforms to help the paychecks of middle class and working families go further to cover the cost of child care, college, and a secure retirement. Now, Social Security simply must remain rock solid, guaranteed progressive benefits that every American can rely on, but too many African Americans reach their golden years without the security they have earned throughout a lifetime of hard work. According to the Urban Institute, the risk of an insecure retirement is especially high for minorities. White households have six times the wealth, including retirement savings, of African Americans for Hispanics. To make it easier for families to save for retirement, the president directed the Secretary of the Treasury to develop MyRA, a safe, easy-to-use starter retirement savings product targeted at the millions of Americans who currently lack access to a workplace retirement plan. The president's budget proposes to further expand access by ensuring that small employers who newly offer a retirement plan or who start automatically enrolling workers in their plan receive additional tax relief. For those employers who don't offer plans, the president's proposal requires them to provide their workers with a simple, affordable, and automatic IRA savings. The president's retirement proposals would give 30 million additional workers access to a workplace savings opportunity. Now, to prevent mortgage companies, credit card lenders, and payday loan companies from exploiting consumers with hidden fees and other deceptive practices, President Obama fought to pass the most far-reaching Wall Street reform in history, which created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Now, the CFPB, which works to make markets for consumer financial products and services work for Americans, is also charged with enforcing fair lending laws to protect against discriminatory lending practices. Now, last year, the president announced that Vice President Biden will lead a review of federal training programs in order to identify and implement steps to make these programs more job-driven, to be responsive to the needs of employers in order to effectively place ready-to-work Americans in jobs that are available now, or train them in the skills needed for better jobs. The president and vice president announced the results of the review, including a commitment for all competitive grants to include job-driven criteria. Over $700 million in job-driven grants were awarded last year to over 100 job-driven industry partnerships, including the Department of Labor's Career Connect grants, to create career academies, for youth, ready-to-work partnership grants for the long-term unemployed, and the community college job-driven training grants to support industry-educated partnerships. By redirecting subsidies from banks to students, the administration made key investments in students, families that allowed the maximum Pell Grant award to reach $5,730 for the 2014-15 award year, a nearly 1,000 increase since 2008. To make student debt affordable, the president enacted Pay As You Earn so that struggling borrowers can limit their monthly payments to 10% of their income. Also, to help families cover the cost of college, the president enacted the American Opportunity Tax Credit, which is worth up to $10,000 over 4 years of college and gives a tax cut to 11.5 million families each year. The president has proposed improving the American Opportunity Tax Credit as part of the plan to simplify and better target education tax benefits, making the credit available for up to 5 years of college and increasing the refundable portion available to low-income students from $1,000 to $1,500, among other reforms. The President's America's College Promise proposal would make community college free for responsible students, enabling them to earn a certificate, an associate's degree, or up to 2 years worth of credits towards a bachelor's degree without paying any tuition or fees at all. Everyone will be required to do their part. States must invest more in higher education and training. Community colleges must strengthen their programs and increase the number of students who graduate. And students must take responsibility for their education, earn good grades, and stay on track to graduate. Students will continue to qualify for federal student aid, including Pell Grants, which could help cover other costs of attendance, such as books, supplies, housing, and transportation. This is particularly critical for the nearly 1 million African American students served by America's Community College. The Healthcare and Education Reconciliation Act of 2010 provided $2 billion for community colleges and other eligible institutions of higher education, including HBCUs, to improve education and career training programs. The Department of Education has awarded $28.4 million in grants to 40 states as part of its efforts to boost college and career readiness for historically underserved students. In his FY 2016 budget, the president firmly reinforces the administration's commitment to strengthening historically black colleges and universities. The budget provides $200 million for the First in the World Fund, a $120 million increase over the 2015 funding level, and sets aside 30% of the funding for minority-serving institutions. The First in the World Fund provides institutions of higher education, including both four-year institutions and community colleges, with funding to test promising initiatives and scale up evidence-based programs to improve college persistence and completion. HBCUs will also benefit from an increase in the TRIO program, College Success for Low-Income and First-Generation Students. Today, community colleges educate more African-American undergraduate students than any other higher education provider. The president's proposal to make community college free will further expand access to higher education for African-American students and will directly support 12 of the nation's HBCUs that are public community colleges. In addition, the budget supports students at HBCUs by making sure Pell grants keep up with the inflation and ensuring student loan repayment plans continue to cap payments at 10% of discretionary monthly income. Now, another thing that the president is trying to do is he wants to build stronger neighborhoods and communities, and some of the things that he's doing include a program, which is the Choice Neighborhoods program, and it has provided over $300 million to plan and implement the transformation of high-poverty areas where distressed HUD-assisted housing is located into sustainable mixed-income neighborhoods by linking housing improvements with services, schools, transportation, and access to jobs. It also expanded the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, which has provided $7 billion in funding to communities to manage the vacant and foreclosed properties. Now, African-American families have been particularly hard hit by the housing crisis. The president has taken action to help homeowners, including expanding access to refinancing, allowing responsible borrowers to save an average of $3,000 per year. The administration has also taken measures to allow homeowners behind on their payments to modify their mortgages to avoid foreclosure, with more than 1.4 million borrowers having received permanent modifications through the Home Affordable Modification Program. The administration's Cornerstone Foreclosure Prevention Program and millions more receiving private modifications that were modeled off of the program. The Federal Housing Administration, or FHA, has long been an important source of financing for African-American families seeking to buy their first home. In recent years, nearly half of African-American home buyers used FHA to get a mortgage. Recently, the president announced a major new step to make buying a home more affordable and accessible for creditworthy families. The FHA has reduced its annual mortgage insurance premiums by 0.5 percentage points from 1.35% to 0.85%. For the typical first-time home buyer, this reduction will translate into a $900 reduction in their annual mortgage payment. Existing homeowners who refinance into an FHA mortgage will see familiar reductions or similar reductions to their mortgage payments as well. The administration increased the CDFI budget more than 135% over 2008 levels, providing grants and tax credits to finance community development projects, distressed areas. And we all know that most of the distressed areas include African-American and other minority communities. Now, also the president is looking at protecting and defending the civil rights of all Americans. And one of the ways he's doing that is by looking at the recent housing crisis, which has adversely impacted communities, countless communities actually across the nation, and predominantly minority areas have been particularly affected. Okay, Department of Justice Civil Rights Divisions strengthened relationships with governmental and community partners have resulted in record-breaking fair lending cases over the past 4 years. Since 2010, the division has filed or resolved 35 lending discrimination matters under the Fair Housing Act, Equal Credit Opportunity Act, and Service Member Civil Relief Act. The settlements in these matters provide for over $1 billion in monetary relief for impacted communities and individual borrowers. Also, recognizing that there is a lack of trust between some communities and law enforcement and the difficult and dangerous job law enforcement officers do to protect and serve, the president announced a number of initiatives to address this concern. Number one would be a police task force, a policing task force. In December 2014, the president announced the creation of a task force on 21st century policing, which will provide recommendations on what can be crime reduction while building community public trust. The task force will issue its report in March of 2015, which has already passed. Also in December 2014, the president released a report on federal support for local law enforcement equipment acquisition that noted a lack of consistency in how federal programs are structured, also in how they're implemented and audited. The report led to the creation of a working group that will report back to the president in 2015 on ways to ensure proper training and that equipment is not misused or abused. The administration is supporting the expanded use of body cameras by law enforcement, making millions of dollars available to help state and local enforcement purchase body cameras and the resources needed to support them. In addition, under the leadership of Attorney General Holder, the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division has opened more than 20 investigations in the last six fiscal years, which is more than double the previous 5 years, and has reached 15 settlement agreements to reform law enforcement practices compared to none in the previous 5 years. So that's a huge achievement, in my opinion. The president wants to ensure that young people have the opportunity to reach their full potential. And so in February 2014, the president launched the My Brother's Keeper initiative to address persistent opportunity gaps faced by boys and young men of color and ensure that all young people can reach their full potential. Agencies have made significant progress implementing policy recommendations made by the MBK task force in May, including through a policy statement on school suspension reform, a new correctional education guidance package, and a federal grant competition to expand apprenticeships. Through the My Brother's Keeper's Community Challenge, more than 150 city, county, and tribal leaders are joining with their diverse stakeholders to implement their own cradle-to-college and career strategies to ensure all youth in their communities can achieve their full potential. And businesses and philanthropies have made nearly $300 million in commitments in response to the president's call to action. Now, school improvement grants have provided up to $6 million per school for 1,500 schools to substantially raise student achievement. These investments have helped severely reduce the number of students, including African-American students, in dropout factories, supporting a 5% increase in the African-American graduation rate since 2008. In 2012, the White House Initiative on Educational Excellence for African Americans established as a cross-agency effort aimed at identifying evidence-based practices that improve student achievement to help ensure that African Americans receive an education that properly prepares them for college and productive careers. The Departments of Education and Health and Human Services announced a $250 million preschool development grants competition to support states in building, developing, and expanding voluntary, high-quality preschool programs in high-needed communities for children from low and moderate-income families. In 2014, the Education Department and the Department of Justice jointly released a school discipline guidance package to clarify schools' civil rights obligations to not discriminate in the administration of school discipline and provide a set of principles to help schools improve climate and discipline practices. Department of Justice has entered into agreements to address racial disparities in education systems across the country. Protecting all youth in the juvenile justice system and improving the juvenile justice system's response to girls, the Department of Justice entered into a comprehensive agreement with a juvenile court to resolve findings of serious and systemic failures that violate children's due process and equal protection rights and address disproportionate minority contact at the court. The Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention has also supported multiple projects to better meet the needs of girls in the juvenile justice system, a population that has grown in recent years. In 1980, girls made up 20% of all juvenile arrests, but by 2011, girls made up almost 30% of all juvenile arrests. Additionally, African-American girls have a residential placement rate that is three times the rate for white girls. Now, the Department of Justice enforces desegregation orders that are in place in nearly 180 school districts, ensuring students have access to the full range of school facilities and educational programs, including honors and advanced placement courses and extracurricular activities. Millions of African Americans have already gained coverage through Medicaid and the health insurance marketplace as a result of the Affordable Care Act. One study shows that insurance coverage among non-Hispanic blacks increased by 3.8 percentage points from 2013 to the first quarter of 2014. This increase was considerably larger than the 1.3 percentage point increase for the population at large. Now, as a result of the Affordable Care Act, 7.8 million African Americans with private insurance now have access to expanded preventive services with no cost sharing. The Affordable Care Act will also help eliminate disparities that African Americans currently face both in their health and in their health care by improving the data collection and tools needed to address health disparities. In 2010, the Obama administration released the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, the first comprehensive national plan to address the domestic HIV and AIDS epidemic. The plan emphasizes the need to eliminate HIV-related health disparities. Since its release, one of the strategy's major successes has been the reduction of new HIV infections in African-American women by 21%. Now, African-American and low-income communities are especially vulnerable to the effects of both pollution and extreme weather events, which are made more frequent and severe by climate change. Now, asthma rates of African-American children are around 16%, more than double the rate of white children in the United States. So in May 2012, the President's Task Force on Environmental Health Risks and safety risks to children released a coordinated federal action plan to reduce racial and ethnic asthma disparities to improve asthma care and health outcomes. In the 2 years since the launch of the plan, EPA has supported training for about 16,000 healthcare providers to equip them to deliver comprehensive asthma care. This past June, EPA announced the first ever carbon pollution standards for existing power plants. These proposed standards will help cut carbon pollution from our power sector 30% by 2030 compared to 2005 levels. These standards will also cut the pollution that causes smog and soot by over 25% in 2030. The first year that these standards go into effect, we'll avoid up to 100,000 asthma and 2,100 heart attacks. Now, I could go on and on and on and on and on, but I just wanted to go through just a little bit of what President Obama has done to positively impact African Americans or Black people, as well as Latinos and other minorities in this country. The issue is that way too many Blacks and other minorities fail to pay attention to politics, government, and economics. Part of the reason is the disparity in the politics, economics, and government education in minority schools versus white schools. And this is a big problem. I'm founder of Unlimited Education, which is all about expanding our definition of education beyond math, English, science, history, physical education, to include things like morals education, values education, education on who to be, how to stand for, what not to fall for, where to be, where not to be, and when. The common sense education that results in good character just treating each other the way that you would want to be treated. And these are the types of education that lead to success. Now, one of the things that we promote a lot is the expansion of government, economics, and political education in minority schools, because these are the types of the education that result in higher participation in government, economics, and politics. And what happens is, in way too many minority communities, because of a lack of participation, minorities tend to get the shaft when it comes to things that they need, and rather it be proper police protection, to include proper police training on conflict resolution and things of that nature, which, you know, leads to a lot of the police shootings of minorities, I believe, in the minority communities. In the minority communities, these types of conflict resolution training and other types of training that are received in white communities and throughout the FBI are not being received in the Black community police departments. So coming back to participation of minorities in the political process, we simply need to understand what's going on in our local, and then we need to participate at a level so that we can influence those politics in a positive way that will positively, you know, impact our lives as minorities. If we fail to participate in the political process, then we also fail to get the things that we need or to institute the laws that benefit us. It's just that simple. Unfortunately, way too many Black people and minorities, we educate our children that the political process is not designed for Black people, that this is not our country, that the system is corrupt and the system is a system of white supremacy and all sorts of nonsense like that. The problem with that is this system is not going anywhere, and neither are we. The overwhelming majority of Black people will never move to Africa. Most of us will never see Africa, although I recommend that we all try to. But we will all be right here, and so will this system of government and the system of economics and the system of politics. It's not going anywhere. It is bigger than you, and you can either decide to participate in it, become educated on how to manipulate it the way that other groups do, and work hard within it to get what you need for your community, or you can continue to be beat down by it by not participating in it so that those who do reap all of the benefits while you reap all of the hardship. So my push for the new year, one of many pushes, I should note, will be for the larger participation by the minority communities in the political process. I'm pushing for more education on politics, government, and economics, so that the minority communities can begin to prosper at the same levels as Caucasian communities or better. And that's not a statement of division. It's a statement of joining and unity with the rest of the nation. The rest of the nation is moving ahead, and we need to move ahead with them by joining and uniting with the rest of the nation and participating in this remarkable political process and this remarkable economy, just kind of getting on board and reaping the benefits that we deserve just like everyone else. So, again, this is not a statement of division. It's a statement of unity. Let's join in, work together so that everyone can benefit and everyone can get their piece of the pie and that everyone can receive equal justice under the law and that so that no one is left behind. So, again, don't just sit there. Join the movement. Get in the fight. And let's make it happen for the new year. God bless everybody who tunes in to our show. Remember, it airs every other Sunday, and it is Let's Change the World. And tune in with me, my co-host, Cheryl Alisa, and it ain't nothing but a party. Everybody's invited. We'll always be sharing some education. We'll always be recognizing those little people, or I shouldn't say little people, but those less recognized people who deserve recognition but who don't have the money, the fame, and the power to be recognized on the big-time national media stage. So we're going to do our small part to recognize those who deserve to be recognized on our stage. So join in every other Sunday for Let's Change the World. Thank you, and have a happy, happy, and prosperous new year. Going to leave you with something that I hope makes you feel good.
I try to do the best I can for you. What it seems not to Can't you see that you're hurting me? And I want this pain, I want this pain to stop. So if you really care, I mean,